Now, as you know, in part two, we do the psalm, which follows from the first reading and the second reading. Lately, I've been given that second reading short shrift. Sometimes, right now, they're not as powerful, because remember, this is our Bible. This is God talking to us in the Old Testament. Even though I'm a New Testament man, all my life I taught New Testament. But I can't teach New Testament without knowing the Old Testament. All the authors of the New Testament knew the Old Testament practically by heart. And, as several scholars have been pointing out lately, the authors of the Gospel knew they were writing Scripture. They were conscious of that. It's an article by Frank Maloney, and another one by, I forgot just who now, saying they knew that they were writing Scripture. Okay. So the psalm that follows from that beautiful text in Zephaniah is the same kind of a thing. The maker of heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. As you've noticed, it takes the latter part of Psalm 146, verses 6 to 10, and breaks them into three parts. So that's the first part. The one making. It's interesting that when God is described as making or creating, it's not the past tense. It's the present participle, which is so interesting. What a vision. Here we have Hosea Shemayim Ba'aretz, the one who's always making, always holding in existence. And the word bara, which is the real word for create, never used except of God. In Isaiah, he's not only the bore of the Haaretz v'Shemayim, he's also the bore of the people, the creating one. God holds us in existence, not only as existence, but as church. We've done our best to wreck it, but God holds it together. Who keeps faith forever. Isn't that something? You know? Chayishmar Emet. Emet. Emet means truth. But truthfulness. See, truth in the biblical mind is that which stays. That which is stable. It comes from the word aman, which means to be stable. We get amen from that. Yes, solid. That's right. You see? And so, he here is keeping emet. That means when you say that God is truthful, it not only means that what he utters is correct, it means that he will always be there. Always be there. Okay. And then the one who secures justice, again, Hosea Mishpat, the one who makes, does justice for the oppressed. You see? Gives, again, the participle. These are all characteristics of God. Gives bread to the hungry. Adonai sets the prisoners free. Now, he visits, and we'll get to that now. But you see, this is the way God is. Now, he expects us to reflect his mercy, his love, his care to the world. That's our job, to convince the world. Thank God he doesn't leave it totally to us, because nobody would ever get the picture. But we're supposed to be doing these things, you see? Secure justice for the oppressed. Give food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. You see what they're saying? These are all characteristics, of the of God. And so it says here, you say, the Lord raises up those who are bowed down. That's Adonai. Okay? Adonai, pokeach. God visits, cares for the anavim, or the inavim in this case. God's got his eye on them. Think of all the people. Look at the Sudan, suffering hunger, suffering oppression. God is mad at that. He will forgive if they ask for it. But he is angry because those are his people. You see? Sets prisoners free, gives sight to the blind, raises up those who are bowed down, and then finally, the last one, the Lord, they're all participles. The Lord loves the righteous. The righteous. Not the self-righteous, the righteous. That's the tzaddikim. I have to watch that I want to have time for the second part of this. Tzedek, or the tzaddik, the just man, is the one who honors the truth of every relationship. So God is tzaddik because he promised salvation and mercy and he lives up to it. We are tzaddik when we relate honestly to God. Then we're tzaddik. It's a precious thing if the Lord would call us my just one. It would be so precious. It means you honor my relationship to you. You understand what I've done for you. You love me. And you give your whole life to me. And as Jesus would then add, and you join me in my suffering. That's the tzaddik. Okay. The Lord loves the righteous. And now he goes on again. You see? The Lord visits the stranger. The stranger sustains the orphan and the widow. Notice those three again. Those who have no one else to care for them. You see? The Lord takes care of them. You see? But he twists the way of the wicked. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, Zion, through all generations. Hallelujah. So this is not a passing phenomenon. The God who gives sight to the blind, who cares for the poor, protects the widow and the orphan and the stranger, he is eternal. He always will do this so long as there's a world that is in our shape. Now when the world is transformed, he'll rejoice in us. And we will rejoice in him. And he looks forward to that. All right. Now I want to look at this text from 1 Corinthians. Because it hints at something that has been underlying the text we've had. But it now comes to the fore and it prepares us for the Beatitudes. Where we see the great reversal. Everything we think. Poor, mourn, you see, they're the blessed ones. That's the great peripatia, the great reversal. But it's already here in this text. Consider your own calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. Rather, God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise. That's us. And God chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. How many times we see this? And God chose the lowly and despised of the world, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something. There's the great peripatia. The nothings become someone, and the someones become nothing. Now, already, as I'm going to say when we get to the poor man in the next section, the poor man is the one who eschews anything that would get him puffed up. He treasures being poor because he knows that God will take care of him. This is hard for us, but it's the Holy Spirit will work in us these instincts. Don't say that and brag. Don't buy that new car. You don't need it yet. Don't. Little things that could keep us closer to the poor and lowly. And then maybe one day, really poor and lowly. Anyway, so that no human being might boast before God. He chooses these lowly ones, okay? It is due to him that you are in Christ Jesus. Now notice, who became for us wisdom from God, as well as righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So that, as it is written, this is a text from Jeremiah, whoever boasts should boast in the Lord. Everything we've got that's going to last comes from the Lord. Everything. And so we say, bless us the Lord, and these are about to receive from your body, and you know, we sit down. Once in a while, we ought to stop and really say that prayer. Thank you, God, for this food. Thank you that I'm alive. Thank you. I could say to God, thank you for saving me from death twice in the last 6 months. Because he's got something for me to do, I guess. And I think it's this. And what I mentioned in the first part, getting a group of people who want to explore what it means to be a priest and a victim. Anyhow, here we have this, whoever boasts, boast in the Lord. So, already adumbrated here is what's going to be the teaching of the Lord in the next text. You see? It's the great reversal. God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise, chose the weak of the world to shame the strong. And God chose the lowly and despised of the world, those who count to nothing, for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who are something. Now, as I mentioned before, he's writing to the Corinthians, the great charismatics. But you know, to say in the ancient world, si Corinthizi, you live like a Corinthian, is to say you're a mess. And those are the ones the Lord goes after. He sends Paul there to preach to these people who, and then of course, you know, they get it all mixed up. Now I'm for Paul, I'm for Cephas, I'm for this. The charismatic gifts, show them off, big shot. You see, and Paul is saying, you idiots, what makes you great is that you depend on God, not your gifts, not your bucks, if you got any, but God.